Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter, he and I do this all the time, by the way. Isaiah 42, as we continue our study in this prophetic book, we're going to learn this morning how we can do what the choir just led us in. It's one thing to sing, God receive all glory and power and honor and praise. But how do we live that? I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but I had something very anxiety-producing happened the other day. I was at Walmart, had bought some things. Everything had gone through, rung up. I pull out my wallet to pay. My credit card is gone. Have you ever had that? Sheer panic. I'm picturing some bozo buying cars and stuff. Or worse yet, you go through the checkout line, you reach for your wallet, it's not there. You go into your purse, the wallet's gone. You're writing a check, you have your wallet, you have your checkbook. The cashier says, "May I please see some ID?" You look through your wallet and your driver's license is gone. You begin to fear that perhaps you're going to be a subject of identity theft. Perhaps the most anxious moment of my traveling life occurred on a mission trip. Now, y'all, I've shared so many horror stories from my mission trips. Don't get the idea that mission trips are filled with horror stories. I love going on mission trips. It just so happens that usually when I'm on one, God does something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. So here I'm landing in St. Petersburg, Russia. I'm traveling by myself. And this is back when things were still a little testy in Russia. I go up to the passport booth upon landing in the airport. And the guy looks at my passport, and he looks at me, and then he looks over to his superior, and then he looks at my passport. He gets out of his little booth, walks over to his superior. They talk, look at my passport, and then look at me. And I'm thinking, oh no. The superior comes over. He says, "Sir, will you come with me? We have a problem." Not what you want to hear. Somehow, the people who had done my visa application, because you need a visa to go into Russia, had forgotten to staple my entrance visa to my passport. So as far as they were concerned, I was actually attempting to become an illegal immigrant. Now, why would I want to immigrate to Russia? Be that as it may, I was in no man's land. I thought at the worst they'd just put me on a plane and send me back. But they wouldn't do that either. Once again, I thought I was going to rot in a Russian prison forever. Thankfully, we had some friends that were outside. They were able to call the embassy. We were able to get a replacement visa. And imagine the relief when I was able finally to show the ID that they expected me to have. You know, sometimes as Christians, it's real easy to lose our ID. A lot of times we're not even aware that we've lost it. But the Father has a wonderful way of taking opportunities to remind us of who we are. He has a wonderful way of helping us rediscover or find our identity. And our identity is what we're going to look at in the text this morning. Let's all stand out of reverence for God's Word. Follow along as we read Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. This is the Word of God. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he's established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. May God bless the hearing and teaching of His inspired, infallible, inerrant, and authoritative Word. Please pray with me. Father, it is so easy for us to lose our identity as the church. Would you help us rediscover it today? And may it affect not only the church corporately, but may it impact each one of us individually as believers as well. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning who doesn't know Christ, I pray that today would be the day you open their eyes and show them their need, and they'd run to Jesus and cast themselves completely upon your mercy and love. We ask this in His name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, perhaps one thing that is just as disconcerting as a lost identity is mistaken identity. Perhaps you've experienced that, a case of mistaken identity. Well, you may think that I've actually engaged in that this morning. If you've been awake as I read the text, you may be thinking, wait a minute, Bob, you said that we were going to look at our identity. It seems to me that you've engaged in a case of mistaken identity, because it seems to me, as I read the text, it's not talking about me or you, it's talking about Jesus. And if you're thinking that, you'd be partially correct. In fact, 700 years or so before the virgin birth of Jesus, Isaiah is prophesying the identity and ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. He is prophesying about the mission of the Messiah. But you also need to know that the servant of the Lord, though it is directly Christ, it is indirectly the people of God. This passage applied to Israel before Christ and applies to us as believers, the true Israel, after Christ. The servant of the Lord ultimately is Jesus. But we as believers are His body on this planet. And therefore we are the servant of the Lord as well. Now obviously we can't suffer the way Jesus did for other people's sins. But we can give ourselves like Jesus did for the nations of the earth. I mean, look at verse 6. The text says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. Isn't that true of believers? Hasn't God called us in the righteousness of Christ? At this church, don't we preach our union with Christ as our hope? That the obedient life of Christ is our righteousness? That the substitutionary death of Christ is our death? That we are righteous, blameless, and holy, without spot in Christ? So look at verse 1. That's why God can say, you are my servant in whom I delight. What is true of Jesus is true of us. Look at verse 6 again. Hasn't God promised to take us by the hand? Hasn't He given us the Holy Spirit? Doesn't he promise to lead us and guide us? This passage applies to us. Look at verse 6 again. Hasn't God called us to be a light to the nations? In the Gospels, doesn't Jesus call us the light of the world? Look at verse 7. Hasn't God called us to share the message of grace, to open the eyes of the blind, and to release the captivity of the prisoners? Haven't we been called to go into all the world and make disciples of all peoples and all nations? When it comes to our identity, not only do we need to focus on who we are in Christ, justified, adopted, regenerate, but we also need to focus on Christ in us. And in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul tells us that Christ is in us, appealing to the world through us to be reconciled to God. The world is on God's heart. The nations are the object of His affection. And we, as the body of Christ, are His arms and legs and mouthpieces. Now, I believe every person who's a Christian here, at some level, has the world on your heart. I believe that's part of the wondrous blessing of regeneration. When God takes out our heart of stone and gives us a new heart, one of the things He implants is an awareness that we are to be a people for the nations. So I believe deep down in every person here who's a Christian, you have a desire, you have a longing to be used of God to disciple the nations. That's part of your identity. The question is, how can we be involved in that? How can we be engaged in what we know we long to do? Well, at Oak Mountain, one of the ways that we can actually put shoe leather on that longing is by participating in what we call faith promise giving. Faith promise giving is simply this. I'll give you a brief definition. It's a promise that as God leads you in prayer, and as God enables you through His provision. So as God leads you through prayer, and as God enables you through His provision, to make a commitment to give to world missions through this church in the coming year. Faith promise gives us an opportunity to put shoe leather on the longing that I believe is in you as a Christian to be a person for the nations. Now on March 5th, in 2 weeks, we're going to ask the membership of Oak Mountain to turn in their faith promise commitments. But over the next 2 weeks, what we want you to do is simply pray for God to lead. Pray for God to soften your heart. Pray for God to give you a vision for the world. And what I'm going to do this morning is use this passage to simply give you 4 reasons why you ought to participate in faith promise giving. First of all, you'll find it out in your programs. Participate in faith promise as a means of personal involvement. Personal involvement. Personal ownership. Personal engagement. Listen, if this passage teaches anything, it teaches the incredible largeness of the heart of God for all the peoples of the earth. Verse 1, He will bring forth justice to the nations. Verse 4, He will not rest until the coastlands wait for His law. The coastlands to the 8th century mind were the remotest parts of the earth. God cares about the remotest, most unreached areas of the planet. Verse 6, He gave Christ to be a light to the nations, and He's instituted the church to bring the gospel of grace to the peoples of the earth. Look at verse 9. He won't share His glory with idols. God's desire is to wipe out idolatry on the face of the planet. God's heart beats for the nations. And if you are a Christian, then part of our identity is to become conformed to the image of Christ. To have God's heartbeat become our heartbeat. And one of the ways that God's heartbeat can become our heartbeat as we begin to invest in global missions personally. One of the beauties of making a faith promise is that every single person here right now can make a faith promise. The four-year-old in the family, the husband, the wife, the single person, the high school student, every single person here can have personal involvement in global evangelization. That's one of the beauties of a faith promise commitment. See, faith promise only goes to world missions. We have three buckets of giving in this church. We have the general fund that pays for the ministries and ministry in this church here in Birmingham, in this place. Then we have our building fund that, of course, helps pay for the facility we're putting up. And then we have faith promise giving, which only goes to global evangelization. And as we each personally commit ourselves to a faith promise, then our investment and engagement with the nations will increase, will grow, and develop. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we are called God's fellow workers. Let me ask you a question. What are you doing right now that constitutes you a fellow worker with God in reaching the nations? Faith promise gives you that opportunity. You know, you don't need to participate in faith promise by families. You know, it's not something that either the husband or the wife, the mother or the father decides, we're going to pledge this much to faith promise. Every husband, every wife, every child in the family, every single person can make their own faith promise to global missions. And it increases our ownership of the vision. My mom and her husband visited us recently. My stepdad, Jack, he worked as a shop teacher, industrial arts teacher, in the public school system for over 35 years. The guy is handy around the house, to say the least. I, on the other hand, am a complete clown. I can barely pick up a screwdriver. And I have a hard time certainly hanging a picture so that it's straight. We were able to get so much done when he visited a couple weeks ago. But I would notice that two or three times a day, he'd be on his computer. And I would say, of course, get back to work. No, I didn't say that. But I noticed that he was looking at his portfolio constantly. All throughout the day, he was trying to monitor, what's the stock market doing? Do I need to make some changes? Because their livelihood, their retirement is bound up in how the market performs. He had an ownership in the stocks and the mutual funds. Faith promise can do the same thing with respect to your interest in global missions. As you begin to make a commitment to give to missions, the nations begin to be more of a part of your everyday consciousness. And your heart begins to beat like God's heart for the nations. So participate in faith promise as a means of personal involvement. And then secondly, participate in faith promise as a means of responsible involvement. I'm going to say something. I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I really want you to be willing to hear me. I believe a faith promise commitment to give to global missions through Oak Mountain Presbyterian Church is one of the most responsible commitments you can make as a child of God. Now that's a pretty bold statement. Let me try to back it up. Look at verses 2 and 3. We're told here that he will not cry aloud, he will not lift up his voice or make it heard. Now that sounds strange because we're thinking, well, why wouldn't Jesus and why wouldn't the church want to talk about the gospel? That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is that when the gospel is proclaimed by Christ and when the gospel is proclaimed by us, it will be done in a gracious, tender, and winsome fashion. This text is telling us that the how of global mission is as important as the what of global mission. How we reach the world is as important as that we reach the world. Now, for those of you who've been coming to this church, you know that we have a very specific vision of what the gospel is. We have a very specific value system of what does it mean to live and proclaim grace. And let me ask you, when it comes to your giving to global missions, do you know what's happening on the field you're supporting? Do you really know what those people believe? Do you really know their philosophy of ministry? Do you really know whether they're proclaiming the gospel of grace for Christian growth? You see, generally, most of us do not have the time, nor the energy, nor the wherewithal or know-how or experience to know what's happening on the field. We may have friends who want to be missionaries, but is theology important to them? Are they living out consistently on the field what you think they believe? But at Oak Mountain, we have a missions staff person. We have a missions committee. We have a whole group of people committed to discerning where people are at theologically, what their understanding of the gospel is. Do they comprehend how to present a grace-driven view of the Christian life? And those are the only people we will support. Now, don't think there's a dearth of those people out there. We still have hundreds of people we have to turn away. But you can know, when you give to Faith Promise through this church, that the same philosophy that you're embracing here, we're going to be supporting elsewhere. Do you know where God's at work in the world? Do you know where the hot spots are of His Holy Spirit right now? Most of us do not. We don't have the time. We don't have the capacity. We have a staff person, and we have a committee whose responsibility it is to seek to discern where and how God is at work, particularly and specially in this world in our day. And we are highlighting those places so that when you give to Faith Promise, you are giving responsibly and you are giving strategically and you are giving powerfully. Look at verse 4. Talks about the coastlands. One of our values as a missions team is to seek to provide missionary support in the unreached people areas of the world. Another reason why we do Faith Promise that's responsible is we talk about the waltz here. The past couple weeks we've talked about the believe step of the waltz. You have the repent step of the waltz where you acknowledge sin. The believe step of the waltz where you rest in God's love and trust Him to change you. And then you have the fight step of the waltz. Well, this today is the fight step of the waltz. The Savior of all grace makes some demands on His people. That's not legalism. That's not performance. There are commands to obey. The apostle of grace didn't just talk about the unconditional love of God so you'd have a great emotional experience. He also said that grace trains us to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. And one of the roles of the church is to hold the people of God accountable. that there are commands to obey. And there is a world to reach. And one of the reasons why we have faith promise for world missions is it gives us an opportunity to challenge you in grace. Not to say God's going to love you more if you participate. Not to say that your financial life is going to be blessed if you participate. But simply to nail it down. You are delighted in by God. You've been changed by the Holy Spirit. And now you are called to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Are you? That's part of our role as the church. We are here to challenge one another. To say, this is what God's command says. How are you doing with respect to that command? You're actually held accountable. No one's going to call you and say, where's your faith promise? No one's going to call you and say, hey, I notice your faith promise giving hasn't been carried through on. But you are going to get statements that we're not going to look at. And so you are going to be reminded, hey, I made a commitment to global missions. Am I following through on it? That's part of the fight step of the waltz. That's a good thing. And when we fail to carry through on the fight step of the waltz, that leads us right back to repentance. And we realize, you know, I've allowed myself to get greedy. I've allowed myself to start focusing on materialism rather than the nations. And faith promises responsible giving because it engages us in the waltz. You know, there are two C's, S-E-A, surrounding the Jerusalem area. One is the Sea of Galilee. It's water that is always moving. There's inflow and there's outflow. And it gives life to everything around it. The other sea is the Dead Sea. You know why it's dead? Because it's always taking in and never giving out. There's inflow, but no outflow. And so much salt has built up that things can't even live there. There's no life. One of the reasons why we engage in faith promise is because we want as a church to encourage all of us to consider the fact that we've been blessed to be a blessing. And you're not going to be a blessing by just sitting there. See, last 2 weeks we talked about sitting there. Now we talk about Jesus propelling us out. And we need to make and keep commitments related to being global Christians. Then thirdly, participate in faith promise as a means of faith stretching involvement. Look at verse 4. He will not grow faint or be discouraged until there is justice in the earth. Until the coastlands have been reached. In other words, Jesus is at work continually until there'll be justice in the earth and the coastlands are reached. But this also means that we as the church, we as the people of God, will not grow faint until the world has been reached. In other words, we will be provided for in order to reach the coastlands. Look at verse 6. I will take you by the hand and keep you. God will preserve us through His provision to us so that we can reach the world with the gospel. Why does God tell us this? Because He wants us to trust Him. Because He wants us to live by faith. Because He wants us to give beyond what we think we can give. You know, that's what the Macedonians did. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3, Paul says the Macedonian Christians gave beyond their ability. How can you do that? How can you give beyond your ability? They promised to give what they did not see they had. Because Paul sends 2 Corinthians to actually tell them, a year ago you promised to give this. Now I know you didn't have it when you promised, but we've all been trusting God together to provide. Now that you made that promise a year ago, now I'm sending people along to actually enable you to follow through on your commitment. Faith promise is a biblical concept. It's a faith-stretching concept. It means don't give to global missions what you can see. Make a commitment based on praying to God of what you can't see. And again, everyone, man, woman, child, husband, wife, single adult, student, all of us can trust God to give through us to global missions. Faith is what we're called to live. Hebrews 11:11. The author says, by faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father. Now, what's that mean? He didn't have the capacity. He didn't have the ability. Abraham was unable to be a father. But by faith, by trusting in God's promise, by hoping in God's provision, the one who was incapable of becoming a father actually became a father. And we're to apply that to our involvement in global missions. We are to trust God to enable us to do that which we think we are incapable of doing. Giving by faith to global missions. We're building a facility out there. It's costing millions of dollars. How can we increase our missions budget as is proposed this year by $157,000? How can we do that? By faith. That's the only way we can do that. Listen, we know that we're challenging you to give to three different things. Do you think we're not aware of that? We know we're challenging you to tithe 10% of your income to the general fund of this church. We know that. We also know that we're challenging you to sacrifice to give to the building. We know that. And we also know that we're calling you to pray, to trust God, to provide through you to global missions. We know that. Why? Because we want to challenge each other. We want to encourage one another. We want to remind each other that this world and our comfort is not what this is all about. But more than that, we want each other to experience, dare I say it, the drama of God at work around us to meet these faith promise commitments. True story, 1940s. A family, 18-month-old girl, was sick with pneumonia. The father was a painter of houses. The mother worked in a textile mill. The weather got really cold. The father had no work. The mother got laid off from the textile plant. Now, I don't understand this medically, but for some reason, the doctor said, your daughter, to get over her pneumonia, needs to eat one boiled egg a day. They said, we can't afford a boiled egg. There was a babysitter that was helping them by working for free. The babysitter said, well, why don't you pray for an egg? They hadn't even thought about that. So they get on their knees and they said, God, we need an egg for our daughter Rachel. Please provide it until she's well. The next day, they heard a clucking sound in their front yard. In their front yard was a big red hen. The hen laid an egg and then proceeded to walk down the road. They couldn't believe it. Got the egg, boiled it, gave it to Rachel. The next day, to their amazement, they hear the clucking in the front yard. The red hen lays an egg and walks down the road. This happened for a week solid. Rachel was getting better. The weather changed. The father was able to start work again. And the next day, the hen didn't come back. And they never saw it ever again. Now, isn't that a cool story? Wouldn't you like to have stories like that in your lives? I'm here to tell you that God works like that when we step out in faith to give to global missions. I'm going to share some of those stories with you right now. That leads to our last point, and that is participate in faith promise as a means of intimate involvement. Look at verse 6. I will take you by the hand. Personal experiences of God as we participate in faith promise. How? First of all, through prayer. Begin now praying specifically. God, give me an amount. You want me to trust you to provide through me to global missions. You know, do I sound charismatic to you? You know what? The charismatics are right sometimes. Do you not think God is able to be personal enough to you to guide you and lead you in answer to your prayer to make a specific amount on a faith promise that He will provide through you for the coming year? Do you not think God can do that? James chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God and let him ask of faith, and it will be given to you. All we're asking for in prayer is, God, give me wisdom about what you want me to give to global missions in the coming year. And James 1 tells us that God will give the wisdom. Now, don't get subjective on me. You're not going to need to wait for some amount to pop into your head. God has all kinds of ways and means to lead us to an awareness of what He wants us to give. It may be completely numerical. That you sit down and think, what would be wise, what would be prudent, what would be shrewd, and yet still require faith. Sometimes God then provides in unexpected ways. So the second way we experience intimacy with God is not only praying to God, what would you want me to give, but then praying for God to provide what we've committed. To make it a daily prayer. To make it a regular prayer. And then to be watchful. Pray and watch. That's how we experience intimacy with God. Pray about your faith promise and then watch for God to provide. And watch with intimate eyes. You know, many times we make a faith promise perhaps, and God does provide. And we're not watching. And what do? Before we know it, we've spent what God provided for global missions in another way. Let me give you an example. Not too long ago, I performed a wedding for folks in this church. Now, I don't charge for weddings. People ask me all the time, what do you charge for weddings? I don't charge for weddings. If you feel led to make a contribution, fine. If you don't, I'm fine with that as well. Well, this person gave me more than I'd ever received my whole life for a wedding. I said, this is way too much. You're out of the ballpark here. He said, no, I want to give this to you. Now, what he didn't know is I had just had $1,300 of repair work done to my car. And I was desperate. God, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to pay for this? I thought, yes. And as soon as I said, yes, God said, no. And I realized the Father saying, Bob, this is an unexpected provision. You didn't know this was coming, and you can do without this because you never thought it was coming anyway. This is a perfect provision for your faith promise. Well, I had to wrestle a bit. I had to waltz a tad. But as I did, the Father really did free me up. And I was able to experience that intimacy of, wow, you did that. You did something completely unexpected to provide for this faith promise. Another way that God provides for faith promise is through adjustments in our lifestyle. You want to hear something ridiculous? In Oakland, California, they had a how cheap are you contest. They were trying to find the tightest tightwad in the entire nation. Let me tell you what some of the things were that were done. This one couple, they reused dental floss. Now that's disgusting. They had his and her hooks. And after using the dental floss, they would hang it over the hook to reuse it. the next several days. That's pathetic. Here's another one. There's another guy that he refroze the ice cubes at the end of his drink. So if he's watching the ball game, having a Coke, when the Coke is gone, he refroze the ice cubes. Now that is cheap. The guy who won separated his two-ply toilet paper into single plies. Don't think I needed to know that. The point is, there are things we could do that involve a change of lifestyle that would free us by faith to give to global missions. We can engage in creative strategies to generate income. Some hobbies, be creative, sell things. Sometimes God just provides through our abundance. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, on every Sunday, set apart a proportion of your income in keeping with God's blessing. God has abundantly blessed some of us, and we are blessed to be a blessing. And I want you to know, unapologetically, I think one of the most strategic, responsible things you could do with your abundance is give it to Faith Promise through this church. Because we know what we're committed to, and our committee knows what we're committed to. And if you love this church and you love this ministry, then your abundance will go to support similar ministries around the world. You know, have you heard of R.J. Letourneau? He invented and created and manufactured all kinds of heavy-duty, earth-moving equipment. He was a Christian. God blessed him so incredibly that at a certain point in his life, he flipped the tithe. And he said, God, I'll live off of 10% and I'll give 90% away. Now let me tell you something. I do believe if you know Christ, there is an element of your soul that longs for that kind of freedom. I believe everybody in here, given an opportunity, would say, I would love to be giving more to the cause of global missions. I really do believe that is within your and my soul because of the work of grace. Faith Promise gives us an opportunity to step out in a modest way toward that end. You see, you haven't lost your identity. It's right here in these verses. Will you pull out your ID and let it be seen? Let's pray. Father, we would ask that you would enable us to be in prayer over these next couple weeks. That we would pray that you would move intimately in our lives to lead and to guide so that we could make a faith promise. Father, deal with whatever hesitancies there are in our hearts, whether it's an independent spirit, whether it's fear. God, we pray that you would put the nations on our souls. God, we pray that we would be responsible as a church to use our funds wisely. And Father, again, this message that focuses on faith promise giving to missions, yet you're able to do what we don't expect you to do. You're able to use a message on giving to missions to lead someone to Christ. So if there's anybody here this morning that is unsure of their status with you, God, may you grant them faith, repentance, and salvation even now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and hear our benediction, the promise of God's grace and favor upon our lives in Christ. Receive it from His hand. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Abba Father, and the fellowship transforming power of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.